Ron Haviv is an award-winning photojournalist dedicated to documenting conflict and raising human rights issues around the globe. Tim McShee, a student at Johns Hopkins University, sat with him during IMED's International Journalism Forum, where Haviv presented his Investigating War Crimes exhibition. They discussed the stories behind some of his iconic photos, the fear of photography, and how social media changed the perception of pictures.
So I wanted to first go back to your time during the Bosnian or the Yugoslav wars, because I think that's one of the most, your most important campaigns. And I wanted just to ask you what sort of initiated that.
Well, I started doing international photography in 1989. Basically, I had just become a photographer, so kind of it all coincided to some degree. By 1991, there was this talk that maybe things were not going to go so well with Yugoslavia moving into the future, that possibly there might be violence. This concept of nationalism, which became very strong over the years, was starting to come up there. In Slovenia, a small republic bordering with Austria, declared their independence, and I went to document a war that existed there for only a short amount of time, and then they became independent. Thousands of people died. This idea of ethnic cleansing, summary executions, like brutality, all these kind of things were coming across in this conflict. And by that time, I had really committed myself to sort of seeing this, whatever was going to happen, to the end. I didn't know at that point in 1991 that I would spend over the next 10 years, more than 5 years, covering the or documenting the different parts of Yugoslavia as it disintegrated, but that's pretty much what happened. I felt that I had been there in the beginning, and I wanted to be there in the end.
So I let you know I was going to show you a few photos, and of course this is one of the most iconic photos you've taken. So do you mind describing just the scene?
In this image you see three paramilitary soldiers from a unit called the Tigers, which was a Serbian paramilitary unit, who were formed during the war in Croatia. They were sort of an offshoot of Red Star Belgrade, which was a popular soccer football club in Belgrade, led by Arkan, who was a, depending on your point of view, either a Serbian patriot, Serbian nationalist, a war criminal, a bank robber. It really kind of depended, but basically kind of a larger-than-life character that was making money for various different things, but also had this paramilitary unit that was quasi-connected to the official rank and file, but not really. So in this photograph, you see what's kind of the aftermath of a war crime. So you see three civilians lying on the ground, a husband and wife, and another woman. One was, as they brought them out, the soldiers were telling me, don't take any photographs, don't take any photographs. And then some shots rang out and the husband fell down to the ground and the wife was trying to basically save his life. I had been in a similar situation during another battle in the Croatian War where I had seen somebody executed in front of me and was not able to, one, save that person's life or even document the aftermath. And I had made a promise to myself that if I was ever in that situation again, I would ensure that if I couldn't help the people, I would at least try to come out with evidence of what had happened. And I realized that I needed to have a photograph of the soldiers and the victims in the same frame so I could at least try to prove to people who would say, oh, this isn't real or this isn't happening or so on, that this actually did happen. So I had to go into the middle of the street. It was a very small street, and in the photograph you see that none of the soldiers are actually looking at me. The soldier that is in the middle of the frame, a soldier who's later identified as Serjan Golubović, comes into the frame with a cigarette in one hand, sunglasses on his head, and I managed to photograph him as his foot was brought back as if to kick the victim as they lay there. The photograph continued a life on its own, became more and more symbolic of what became known as ethnic cleansing, as war crime, When the International Criminal Tribunal at The Hague was opened, one of the prosecutors gave a speech in which he said that the photograph was one of the inspirations for the creation of the War Crimes Tribunal.
There's a lot that goes into a photograph and the staging and sort of the focus. I wonder if you can give some insight into even the photo we looked at earlier, right? Like the actual occasion of pressing down the button and taking the photo.
When you look at photography, certainly of the best photographers, there are different aesthetics that each one puts in, the way he or she sees the situation. It could be simply the choice of using black and white or color, the choice of lens, the choice of camera, the idea of how close you get, the way that you frame things, the way you use light. All of those things are very personal choices by the photographer in order to use those tools to create, what I do is try to create a relationship between the viewer and the image, especially when working in these situations, which are also often quite difficult. I don't take gratuitous pictures just to shock, because it doesn't really work. People just forget them very quickly. If you have to find an aesthetically pleasing photograph that allows there to be a relationship between the viewer and the photograph, so that when they are connected to that photograph, then they can't look away from the content. And I'm very deliberate about this, but I've also been severely criticized. This idea about war porn or beautifying horrific moments and so on. That's the opposite, that's the criticism of it.
The second photo I wanted to bring up might be an outlier in this discussion because it's so metaphor, it's so poignant as a metaphor for photography and how people might fear it.
Well, this is quite amazing because this actually is a photograph of a photograph. So this is a photograph of a family, middle-class family, on a summer vacation, a father, a daughter, a son, and a wife, facing the camera with a fountain behind them. It's a bit faded because the photograph was taken in like the 1970s. And the story behind the photograph is that this family, the Fako family, Bosnian Muslims, had to flee their home when the war started. When the peace accords reunified Sarajevo, they went back to their home, which had been occupied by a Serbian family, and the house was empty of everything. Electricity, pipes, furniture. It was just a shell. No windows, nothing. The only thing left was this photograph lying on the floor. And what had happened to the photograph was that each of their faces had been etched out by what appears to be a razor blade, and then what appears to be maybe like a drill bit was sliced through each person's body. Very meticulous, very deliberate, to the point where I can feel the hatred of the person that was doing that, but what it represents, it's the erasing of the other. And that's what, in terms of this exhibition, which is called A Brief Guide to War Crimes, and much of the work that I've done is related to human rights, war crimes, and so on, it's always, when it comes down to it, is about they're different than me because of skin color, religion, gender, economic class, whatever, so therefore they are my enemy and I will wipe them out. And often I will wipe them out before they wipe me out. So there's always, I think fear is always a huge underlying aspect of all this.
What else might it say about the fear of photography? As a photojournalist, do you feel that anger and that fear is sometimes being put on you as a photographer by the people around you during these conflicts who are afraid of what a photo might tell the world?
I know it's an interesting question because you look at Ukraine and now maybe there's a fight between Ukraine and Gaza as the most documented conflict in terms of like everybody has a camera. One of the things that's quite amazing with Ukraine and Bosnia, given their difference in 30 years in time and so on, in that a lot of everything looks the same. The people have similar looks, the countryside, the fighting, the ethnic cleansing, and so on. And so you think like things would be different or people would have learned something, and they haven't. So it's interesting that so in some ways the work imagery exists as evidence. But at the same time, people are so enthralled and proud to show their activities that they had no hesitation about showing the world what they're doing.
Do you think there's a cultural shift happening where maybe photography or photos seen on social media aren't taken as seriously as photographs might have in the past?
It's possible. Certainly with Ukraine, and the majority of the photographs of any kind of war crimes are not being taken by photojournalists. They're being taken either by surveillance video or somebody with a war participant and so on. So that's also the people providing imagery are also different. And then you see in, let's say, using Ukraine again as an example, in Mariupol, where the photographer Evgeny, who was there and took that photograph of the pregnant woman on the stretcher, because it was a professional photographer, because it was such a powerful moment, that photograph becomes symbolic. And all the other photographs sort of lay underneath. So there's also about the way that photographs are presented and the way that they're accepted by the news media and eventually the audiences.
Mixed and sound design by Aris Athanasopoulos. For more audio content by IMED, visit podcast.imed.org.